pocket, being that it wants to not stay on my belt. There we go. How y'all doing? A little bit of church before church, that's always good. Willing and obedient. Willing to, or daring enough to trust God, to take Him at His word. Woo! And obedient to it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to pray so we can get right after this, because we got some time. We got a little bit of things to go over. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to bring your word, Lord God. I ask that it would be effective in doing what you've set forth, send it out to do, Lord God. I thank you so much in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. God is good. I found out a little while ago that I was going to be preaching this evening. Kind of, sort of. I asked Pastor Ricky, the first time I seen him after Faith Explosion, I had asked him who's preaching, and he said, he told me I was, but I did not pay attention to that. And so Sunday I was like, hey, who's preaching on while you're gone? And he said, well, you are. I was like, oh, so now you know. But I had already been talking to God about what to preach on, in case they asked me to. And two things came to my spirit: freedom and then joy. Tonight, I chose to go with freedom, because freedom reigns. Freedom is something that sometimes we take for granted, especially in our situation and in our country. But I think that after studying it, I don't think that we have a healthy understanding of what freedom is. And this, I might ruffle some feathers with this. So I hope you'll forgive me for that. But that's the only time I'm going to say please forgive me, or I hope you will forgive me. But the reality is, freedom can only be had by someone who was at one point bound. So we as Americans were born and we have freedoms, right? Well, we say we have freedoms, but really what we have is rights. Because freedom, again, is actually being free from something that has bound you. And you have not been bound by many things in this country, right? So that's why when I say that we take freedom for granted, it's because I don't think that we have a healthy understanding of true freedom and what it means. See, when you're held down and you're pushed down and something is holding you back, and you get free from it, you've gained your freedom, right? It's not the rights and things like that. Freedom is being free. In fact, when you put the freed is being freed, right? And makes it like an action, getting away from, right? It's crazy. When I was studying that out, I was interested by that, because I live in the land of the free, and I have freedoms, right? I did the word study on it last night. I didn't know. I was like taken back a minute. How interesting is that? For us to all our lives, well, I've got freedom. I've got freedom, when we've never been bound by anything save for sin. Because sin will bind you. Sin will keep you down. Sin is missing the mark. Addictions will bind you. Emotions will bind you. Habits will bind you. Spirits will bind you. Hang-ups, hurts, grudges, betrayals. These are all things that bind us in our lives. We hold a grudge and we think that we're getting back at the person we're mad at for some crazy reason, but the only person affected by a grudge is you, because they don't care how you feel. If they did, you probably wouldn't be mad at them. Think about it. I don't like him. Do you know what he did to me one time? And then they'll go, because you know people gossip. They'll be like, man, did you know Mr. Clinton? He doesn't like you much because, you know, you cut him off one time. right? Over by the Mexican restaurant with your big truck. No, I'm just joking. I'm just, Lord, forgive me. Gosh. Every time I bring something up, even like for something, because you want to relate, right? Heather will be like, so you haven't forgiven them yet, huh? No, I have. We went to lunch yesterday. Yeah, but you sounded angry when you brought that story up. Oh, man. But that person don't care. So a grudge, anger towards somebody, only affects you. It's something that binds you. Man. The question is, what has you bound right now? We all have something. Maybe we are in the process of being freed from it. But I know there's a lot of people bound right now by anger, bitterness. Here comes the ruffle your feathers part, 2020. People straight bound up, stomachs aching, angry. Me personally, I gave up that whole thing. God's still in charge. I don't have to worry about any of that. Because if we truly believe that we're not part of the world system, and doesn't matter what the economy does, it doesn't matter if it's the new one. The new one started this week, and they've been talking about it in financial circles a while, but the new one this week, keyword, stagflation. It's stagnant economy with inflation, a stagflation, 1970 circa, right? But the reality is that it doesn't matter, because my source isn't the world. My source is God. So, if you would, I neither of my boys showed up. I was going to have Mike do this, but I'm just going to, I have Ireland's empty backpack. So, as we go on, I'm just going to take these little weighted bags. I'm going to throw them in the bag. So I'm angry about the election. I get it. But do you want to be bound by it? There's still 2 years left. Right? So you can be bound by that. Me, personally, if I was to tell you guys that anger bound me, not about the election, but I growing up and into my 20s and I guess maybe into my 30s. Yeah, into my 30s. Very angry person. Mom can attest to that. Tom can too. Very angry, quick-tempered. I know y'all look at me now and go, no way. But I'd fly off the handle. Amen from Tom. He said, yeah, yeah. I fly off the handle for almost anything. Weren't we all? I'm going to go to John 8:36 really quick. We'll get a scripture out here, so if I get carried away, nobody can ever say, he didn't even preach from the Bible today. Just so y'all know, I didn't. One time I was preaching, and I've told this before, I made mention of scripture, but I may have not, like, given the address. Nor did I ever touch my Bible. I didn't technically preach from the Bible, even though I did make mention of scripture. And my friend, Tim, made me aware of that at dinner afterwards. I'm like, man, I don't think I mentioned a scripture. He's like, bro, you didn't even open your Bible. I was like, wow. Some people might say, I have arrived. But no, that's not what you want. So this is really easy. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Simple as that. There should have been a better amen on that. So, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The thing is that the world offers you, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm going to ruffle feathers. The world may offer you a 12-step program to get off your hang-up. And that's the world way, and that's fine for the world. But what if I told you Jesus has a 2-step program? That's 10 less steps. And who wants to step all that much? 10 less steps, easy peasy. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free from whatever is binding you, whatever's holding you back. The things that I just can't shake this anger. I just can't shake this feeling. I just can't shake this betrayal, this habit. Fill in the blank. But it says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Who and the key there's the steps to that. Accept Him and confess. Simple as that. I went ahead more than I wanted to. But the reality is that's where we need to get to. Where we're not doing the 12-step program, right? Where we first, I don't know the 12 steps. My parents had us go to Al-Anon or Alateen or, I don't know, nicotine, whatever. They didn't actually have us go to nicotine. I just was throwing teen words out there. Teen spirit, I don't know. But they took us to this, and it's a 12-step program for kids whose parents are in a 12-step program. And kids, I mean, honestly, I don't know what's going on. I mean, you know, something that annoys me about that, especially on this side, and I'm not better than anybody else, okay? I still have faults. But what I am not is a sinner. Do I sin? Yes. But Jesus said I'm not a sinner anymore. So I'm not a sinner. So when in the 12-step program, the thing, I do know this, you stand up, say, my name's Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. You might not have had a drink in 400 years. But every time you have to say, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an addict. No. You've been, if that's, think about that. We're just going to grab a couple of these. Because honestly, you go to these a few times a week or whatever. And you just say, my name's Bob. And notice I'm not using my name. And I'm an alcoholic. My name's Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. And I could stay here and do that all night long. That bag's getting heavier. But that's the difference between the world's way of getting free from something that binds you and God's way of getting free from something that binds you. See, the world says, hold on. They say hold on to your money. They say hold on to your family. And they trick you into holding on to those hang-ups. The world says don't forget somebody that did you wrong. Jesus says forgive them. If we're going to be agape love people, walking in love, when we forget something, when we forgive something, it needs to go in the same sea of forgetfulness. That doesn't mean you have to open yourself up to get hurt again. But you should not bring that up on a Wednesday night service because you got cut off in front of the Mexican food restaurant. I'm just saying that because I love Earl. It was pretty funny. I used to drive a go-kart, and he had the big truck, and he didn't really cut me off. He turned out in front of me. There was plenty of space. There was no slamming on the brakes. But he didn't know that at the time, so I make sure to remind him of it. So I'm not actually mad at him. I just love the story. Oh, my gosh. The anger that... So back to me, not to talk about myself, but the anger that I had was so deep-rooted. I was the smallest, even though I was the middle child, I was the smallest of the three boys. I got beat up a lot. And that was just how it was. Part of that was, in addition to anger issues, I have a big mouth. And so when you have a big mouth and bigger brothers, sometimes it doesn't work out. So you might get smacked around a bit. I'm not excusing their behavior, but a lot of times that's what it is. So you build this resentment, this anger inside of you because you've been this small guy. Well, then all of a sudden, I'm like 280 pounds and I'm fit. I dare you to mess with me now. Come on, all comers, let's go. And I still had that big mouth, but now I had big muscles. And I could handle some stuff. Plus getting beat up and learning how to fight my whole life, I could take care of business. So that none of that helped. And so I have this, it's the only way to describe it is this deep-seated spiritual anger. Some of you are there or have been there. And it doesn't, you can replace anger with whatever hang up, emotion, whatever you want to put in there, anything that's holding you back from the fullness that God has for you, replace it. And if it's deep enough, and if it's in your heart enough, it's no longer just an emotion. Now you're dealing with a spiritual issue. And there's only one thing that one thing that can get you free from those spiritual burdens. One person, Jesus. Accepting Him. That kind of bondage, no amount of counseling can ever pull out. Because you're an angry person. You're just going to get mad at the counselor. I know this. I went to counselors before. You just end up mad at the counselor. You build resentment towards them because they had the audacity to tell you that you were wrong. That maybe that thing you did was the wrong thing to do. No, I was justified. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Not even close. 2 Corinthians 3. I'm going to do this in the Amplified Classic. Verse 16. Second. Oh my gosh. How did I? There is no 16 in 2 Corinthians 3. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians 3. Silly me. How did I? 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, there it is. My bad. I'm new at this. I'm just joking. But wherever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, whenever a person turns to repentance, in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage, freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, and freedom. Turning to Jesus, when you accept Jesus, repenting, turning away from the sin that has you bound, whether it's anger, whether it's a habit, and getting away from it. That is Jesus. That is Jesus. It's that simple. It's that easy. Now, I simple and easy. Well, Clinton, I gave my life to Jesus, and I stayed angry. I gave my life to Jesus, and I stayed bound. And then, now, because you haven't been able to get free from those binds, because Clinton said it was simple and easy. That is just going to, like just happen. I'm just going to be free. Now you have a resentment towards the church. Because they said it was going to be simple. They said it was going to be easy. Wow, church resentment. Three. You resent the church because Clinton said it was going to be simple and easy. And you listen to that part. And it was simple and easy, and you thought, gosh, all I have to do is say, hey, Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I believe that you came to die for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And then you walked out of the church. A couple weeks went by. Nothing changed. You hadn't been back to church. You hadn't prayed at all. You hadn't read at all. Can I tell you that the key to doing any of this and making it simple and easy is the Word? If you're not willing to get into the Word and learn the truth about what God has for you, that there is freedom, if that's too difficult for you, then turning to Jesus and truly getting delivered is not simple and easy. I'll tell you the truth. If you're too busy to even read a couple scriptures a day, sorry, simple and easy is out the window. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 1, let's explore that for a second. John 1, I'm just going to go New King James. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. All of that talking about Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's the thing. The truth, the Word, Jesus is who sets you free. You can accept Jesus with your mouth, but did it get into your heart? Did Jesus move in, take up residence? Or was it superficial? Did you just repeat a prayer because you had an emotional response? John 8, 31 through 32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Some people point to that and say, well, the Bible just contradicts itself over and over and over again. It says the word will make you free. The Son will make you free. What makes you free? The Son, the truth, the word, they're the same. They're intertwined forever. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're to accept Jesus for who He is, if we're to have the change that He has promised, if we're to have the freedom that comes with a relationship with God, there has to be a relationship. If you was single, out there scouring the world for a spouse, a significant other, right? A wife, if you're a husband, or a wife if you're a boy, a husband if you're a girl, I don't care. That's what it is. But if you're out there scouring the world and you finally found somebody and you're like, wow, they're really nice. And you go and you're like, hey, how's it going? Give them your number, all that stuff. And you call them once. Oh, man. Oh, what? Or here. You call them once, you go to the house, when you take them to dinner once, whatever it is, because you maybe you came in the first time and your parents brought you up, and every time you went to church on Sunday, when they dropped you off at the kids' class, they gave you a quarter for the offering. My parents did, quarter, dollar, whatever they had. We got it. You put it in the offering. So we come into church and we go like this, oh wait, you know what? I got to give an offering. I've got 20 bucks. I could do 20 bucks. You put that in there, right? So you took Jesus to dinner. Never call him again. And then you're mad. Well, it didn't change anything. But you didn't call back. You didn't show up. The doors are open the same time every week. And sometimes they're open more frequently. When we get into a new relationship, every waking moment. I remember back before cell phones, we lived in a longhouse, and we had one phone. There's no privacy with one phone. I can't be lubby-dubby. So Dad was nice enough to get a 150-foot phone cable. It was portable. I can go from one end of the house to the other hand. If he wanted to talk to somebody, he can go in his room. If it was my turn, I can go in my room. And we had to buy one of those like once a month because it went bad all the time. Because it's been dragged all over the house, stepped on, vacuumed up, whatever. But we couldn't get enough of that person. Heather's my wife. I spent all the time on the phone with her. Goodness. Hours, but we can't wake up in the morning and so much as say thank you God for waking me up. But we're Christians. I have a relationship with God, and don't get me wrong, I fail at it too. It's okay. Get it fixed. Don't stay where you're at. It's just another burden. If you fall off the bus and you don't read for a couple days, or maybe you don't pray, not praying is hard. Like, because you should be in a life of prayer, constant. Pastor Barb brought that up to us. Gosh, when I first started coming here, living a fasted life, staying in prayer, always an attitude of prayer. Excuse me. And the point behind that was simply this. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at, you should be ready to pray. I've pretty much made that my deal. I don't care who's around. I won't just scream, "Yay, Jesus," after making a sale. But I will thank him immediately. Because he's who brought it to me. I can't do that stuff myself. I ain't smart enough. Simple as that. I am a smart guy. But only because Jesus. He's who makes me who I am. I've given all that I am to him. The truth in the word is that key to making sure that you can have freedom. That is so foundational, and we forget it so quickly simply because we're too lazy to pick up the Bible or to spend some time in prayer, to just love God. I am going to do rapid fire now because the truth of the word is the key. And so when I was, all the time when I was studying, because I don't mind searching things out. It's how God taught me to write a sermon. I remember he was talking to me about the armor of God. And we got into a struggle, right? He said, "Hey, get up. I have something for you." I was like, "No way. I'm laying down. It's bedtime." And he's like, no, I need you to get up. I have something for you. And it got to a point where I was like, but Heather is sleeping. And I always Google stuff. And I'm a loud typer. And I have loose keys on my keyboard at the moment. And so I was like, God, if I wake Heather up, I'll be seeing you in a minute. But he's like, no, it'll be okay. Now I need you to get on your knees, repent, and get over the computer. I have some things for you. It's cool that God will work with you how you work. So I did. I prayed. I repented. I got on the computer. Heather never woke up. But he didn't just, I didn't know like scripture verses. I had, but I was in the Strong's, like looking things up in the Strong's Concordance. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but I was typing some things out, looking in the Strong's, and it's called the Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and it is exhaustive to be inside the Strong's. But now, because I know a bit more scripture, I'm able to ramble off little pieces and get a whole lot. Even more so when I started studying on on freedom, I just Googled freedom scriptures. Would you believe that it gave me dozens of sites about freedom scriptures? And I don't care about the commentary on those sites. I just want the scriptures. Give me the raw scriptures. I don't care what you think about Jesus, so long as you love him, that he's the real Jesus. But I went to Country Living. Actually, I Googled it. Country Living came up and gave me 23. And this is the truth of the word. Galatians, you don't have to follow along with this. I'm just going to rapid fire. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We are slaves to sin before Jesus. Romans 6:7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. He's talking about died to sin, died with Christ, because we died with Christ and rose anew. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except to continue the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Galatians 5, debt is another type of bondage. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 1 Peter 2:16-17, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Psalm 118:5, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Romans 6:18, you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Being a slave to righteousness is pretty cool. It doesn't come with hangovers. It doesn't come with bad feelings. It doesn't come with bruises. All those things, they go away if you just live for righteousness. And if you love one another, you won't get punched in the face and you won't have to punch anybody in the face. I've been in fights. You still hurt your knuckles even if you won. Who wants that? Not me. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:21, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Romans 6:14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. 1 Corinthians 7:22, for he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman to of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Acts 13:39, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything by from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. 1 Corinthians 6:12, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Psalm 119:45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Psalm 118:5, from the distress I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Hebrews 2:14 and 15, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And that's not even all the freedom scriptures. That's just 23 very well or very good scriptures, meaningful scriptures, things that can change your life. I want to tell you, the devil this morning tried to bind me. The cold weather flattened both of my tires, right? Not flat, but lowered the pressure. Heather's too. My son, I love him, but I have a little handheld pump, right? It's Ryobi, got a battery, go out, do your tires up. Super easy. I don't have to turn on an air compressor or anything like that. It's a little loud. But he took that with him. He put it in his car. He put it in his car last week. Heather asked him to take it out last night, and he still took it to Kingman this morning when he went to work. Thank God for another opportunity to walk in love. We couldn't find the pump. That's because the boy took it. Heather and I, you know, we're both morning people. So this, we're searching for this. We can't find it. There's a little bit of contention between her and I because we can't find the pump. Oh, devil tried to bind me because anger, right? Because the devil, Pastor Ricky's talked about it recently, the devil goes with familiar spirits. If he knows that anger gets you, he'll send anger. If he knows that lust gets you, he'll send lust. That's how he works. Because he ain't nothing new under the sun. He doesn't know any new tricks. Same thing he's been doing for years. So anger came. And I was mad when I got in the car. Heather and I were leaving around the same time. She was taking Ireland to school. I have to be in Kingman early. So I'm taking off. And she was going to have to drive up here with one tire that's like really low. And she doesn't like doing that. The car doesn't handle well, right? Well, I remembered that the Texaco just fixed their air pump recently. And even though I'm going to charge my son. Don't get me wrong. He has a job. He's going to give me money back. In case he's watching, Zelle me like $10. What didn't cost that, but that's what I'm asking for. So it just came to mind. I didn't blow up, and God gave me an out. Walking in love. So I called Heather. I said, hey, you know what? I'm pretty sure Texaco just fixed their air pump. I'm going to go there. If it's fixed, I'll give you a call. And just show up there, and I'll pump your tires up. We'll be done. So that's what I did. Air pump was fixed. And she got there in time. I didn't even have to pay twice. Doesn't matter. I still want $10. But that's all because I didn't let what bound me bind me. God is good, right? I gave Gabe a little bit of a hard time this morning. You guys know we both just recovered from that funkiness. And it comes with a little bit of a cough. The cough has been affecting Gabe since he had it. And I had coughed a little bit here and there, but not very much for the last about week. I haven't been coughing. I was coughing pretty bad before that. But about a week ago, it kind of just mellowed out. Well, I gave Gabe a hard time about the cough this morning. And then, by the time I got to Kingman, I wasn't coughing crazy. And I didn't take any medicine with me because I hadn't been coughing all that much up until when I got here. I was coughing. I was coughing in the back. I have been talking for 30 minutes. I haven't coughed one bit. Thank God. Because the devil will send craziness to bind you. He'll try to derail a word. He doesn't want this stuff to be known. God's happy you're here. He had a word for you this morning or this evening. Thank God. It's so cool. Like I was saying, it's two steps, right? Now those two steps are confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess, believe, right? And not head belief. We were just going over this with the kids the other day. Not a head belief, but a heart belief. Because there's a difference. Head belief is somebody told you something one time. Heart belief is you found out it to be true. So what is it? What is it that binds you? What is it that's holding you back these days? Maybe it's the fact that you haven't accepted God, accepted Jesus and his sacrifice. So basic. Like I said, it can be simple and easy. We can get rid of that now. And we will have an opportunity to do that in just a moment. Who in here would like to help me with this? Just a test. For giggles. Come on up. Oh, come on up. I'm just going to have you just hold it for a second. There you go. Don't hurt yourself. It was pretty heavy?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to carry
it around all the time. Right? Pretty heavy? Pretty heavy. Go ahead and put it. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There's nothing light about carrying around anger. There's nothing light about carrying around a grudge, an addiction. Nothing light about it. It weighs heavy on your heart. When you go to bed and you can't think about anything about except for what you do to that person if you had another opportunity, you don't sleep well. God promised you rest. But it's the two steps. So, bow your heads and close your eyes for a second, and we'll close with this. If you've never accepted Jesus, that's the simple and easy part. It's a two-step program. If that's you, you've never accepted Jesus, or maybe you did at one point in your life, but you're not sure if it was just head belief. Maybe it just never made the trip into your heart. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand, put it back down really quick. That is refreshing. At times, you guys can open your eyes now. We still get bound up, even if you've accepted Jesus. It's easy to slip because the devil deals in familiar spirits. Maybe he keeps sending one and you keep falling for it. You can be free from that too. That's a repentance issue. And that we will pray for, regardless of if you've accepted Jesus or not. God loves you, and He only wants the best for you. He is not... the God in our covenant. He's the same in the Old Testament and New Testament. But He is love. He can be vengeful. And He says that He's jealous. But He's not out there to push you down. He's not out there to hold you down. He's out there to free you from what's binding you. It's a matter of accepting that. Me? It's that anger thing. And I still have to repent for being angry. Because sometimes, as well as I behaved this morning, it doesn't always happen that way. I'll fly off the handle. Not as often as I used to. Thank God for that. Because I've turned that over to Him. That anger. Go ahead and bow your heads one more time. And if you'll just pray with me and believe with me. Father, we thank You so much for freedom. Lord God, as we sit here, Lord, I know that there are people that have that thing that binds them right fresh on their heads. Father, if You would just touch their hearts right now, lead them to repentance of it, to turn from that, Lord, and strengthen them, because the devil comes real quick afterwards. Father, we praise You and we honor You. We thank You for the word this evening. We love You, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, it's 8:12. I don't know if the kids are still doing things or not, but if they are, kind of just be respectful of them and see if Heather says you can take them or not. You guys are dismissed. Thank you so much.